Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Today we will examine several revelations that took place after the resurrection of Christ. Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they put him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, yet she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary came and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Before Revelation, Mary assumed Jesus was someone else. She was clinging to the Jesus of the past. Revelation happened when he called her by name. Relationship with Jesus produces revelation. And behold, on that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they came to a stop, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you possibly the only one living near Jerusalem who does not know about the things that happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "Those about Jesus the Nazarene, who proved to be a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us left us bewildered when they were at the tomb early this morning and did not find his body. And they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels and said that he was alive. And so some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said. But him they did not see." And then he said to them, "You foolish men, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to come into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all the things about himself in the scripture. And they approached the village where they were going, and he gave them the impression that he was going further. So they strongly urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And it came about, when he had reclined at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed it, and he broke it, and began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, "Were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road while he was explaining the scripture to us?" Before Revelation, they assumed he had another purpose, another kingdom. Revelation happened when they dined with him. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. Dining at the Lord's table produces revelation. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with him, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." And they began to relate their experiences on the road and how he recognized him at the breaking of bread. Now while they were telling these things, Jesus himself suddenly stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought that they were looking at a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why are your doubts arising in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you plainly see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they could still not believe it because of their joy and astonishment, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They served him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Before revelation, they assumed he was just a spirit and had fear. 1 John says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." Jesus was completely God, and he was completely human. Touching Jesus, being touched by Jesus, produces revelation. But Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." From that day until now, he has been known as Doubting Thomas. In his defense, Jesus had warned the disciples not to be deceived, so he was cautious, even a little skeptical. 8 days later, the disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Place your finger here and see my hands, and take your hand and put it into my side, and do not continue in disbelief, but be a believer." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Instead of being remembered as Doubting Thomas, we ought to remember that he acknowledged Jesus as God. Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who believe without seeing." Before revelation, Thomas assumed that seeing is believing. In an earlier story, Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Believing in Jesus produces revelation. After these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee in this way. Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and two other disciples were together. I always feel bad for the two nameless disciples. I remember when they changed the theme song for Gilligan's Island to "The Movie Star and the Rest, Poor Professor and Marianne." Oh, sorry, wrong boat. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, we are also coming with you. Peter went back to where he was before he became a disciple. Sometimes, when we don't understand what's going on, we want to go back to what we understood, what is familiar, the good old days. They went out and got into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish to eat, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find fish." So they cast it, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already made, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." So Simon Peter went up and hauled the net to the land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of them ventured to inquire of him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Peter went back to where he was before he became a disciple. So Jesus went back to where they were when he called Peter. Remember in Luke 5, Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon responded and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to the partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats to the point that they were sinking. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be fishers of men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Whoever said the Lord does not do the same thing twice missed this story. Jesus had everything they needed for breakfast, but he invited them to share responsibility. He called them to be fishers of men, to work with him. In Mark's gospel, after the resurrection, Jesus gave the Great Commission. Then it says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by signs that followed." Before Revelation, Peter assumed that there was nothing else he could do for the Lord. "I have had times I thought ministry was over for me. I forgot that it depended on Jesus' ability, not mine." Partnering with Jesus in his work produces revelation. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen became the first martyr. The men who stoned him to death laid their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. In Acts 9, Saul went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, that is the Christians, whether men or women, he might bring them in shackles to Jerusalem. Now as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Get up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him to Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man named Saul from Tarsus, for he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might again regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer in behalf of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like fish scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. That is Luke's version. But there are two more accounts of this story. In Acts 22, Paul defends himself before the Jews, saying, It happened that I was on my way approaching Damascus at about noon. A very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told about everything that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I came to Damascus being led by the hand by those who were with me. Now a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law, and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing nearby said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment I looked up at him, and he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will, and to see his righteous one, and to hear a message from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all the people of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. In Acts 26, Paul tells the story again to Agrippa, saying, I was journeying to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priests at midday, O king, and I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying in Hebrew, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Goads are like cattle prods. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. By the way, how many times have you heard that Saul was knocked off of his horse? Not only does it not specify that he was riding a horse, he might have been in a chariot or on foot, but everyone around him fell to the ground as well. They all felt something, saw something, heard something, but only Saul was called by name. In other words, only he understood. Then the Lord said, Get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you as a servant and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things which I will show you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. God promised to deliver Saul from the very people he was sending him to. Pastors, take heart. God has a unique call on your life, just as he did Saul. Before Revelation, Saul assumed that knowing about God is the same as knowing God. Falling before the Lord, repenting, and obeying him produces revelation. Saul went on to become Paul. Secular history credits Paul with being the one person who spread Christianity to the known world more than anyone else. Paul wrote half of the New Testament, including this message to the church in Ephesus. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the boundless greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Before Revelation, we are unenlightened. Before Revelation, we have no hope. Before Revelation, we have a false value system. Before Revelation, we are powerless. Resurrection produces revelation. Resurrection produces enlightenment. Resurrection produces hope. Resurrection produces true riches. Resurrection produces power. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked, praying that the power of the resurrection will change your life.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.